Greetings, you're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado, 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John 1 verse 42 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible states, Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C like in Charles, E like in Erna, P like in Paul, H as in Hunt, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following: Matrix is something like a mold or a womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child but has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program will be about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix. The listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that is inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and, seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself like no other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I'll get to that later. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I have to go back in history to show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, even though his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, intolerance, and climate change. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him, summarized.
From that time, Rome was the center of this new satanic system, the Jesuit order. This is the Chiesa del Gesù in Rome. And entering into it, we get some idea of the wealth and the power of the Society of Jesus. There, a death mask of Loyola was made into a picture. We get a view of what he looked like. But the altars and the artwork are the ancient Baroque style, and it's a magnificent structure showing that the wealth of the nations at one time flowed into this order. There's an allegorical statue of the church destroying Huss and Luther. Another great painting of Ignatius ascending to heaven as a saint after his death. But the most interesting of all to me was this of Jesus holding his heart out in his hand. It was the followers of Ignatius that brought into the church the mystical teachings and the worship of Mary in the heart, and brought those mystical teachings of the Dark Ages into the 20th century. When Xavier was once requested by one of the patients to scrape out an abscess, this is Xavier, one of Ignatius' followers, he felt rather squeamish about it. He put his hand, which was covered with a purulent matter, to his mouth in order to put his self-control to the extreme test. It's amazing that even at that early time, these men had minds that controlled their emotions. Rodriguez would not at first make use of this resting place, but afterwards, in order to punish himself for his weakness, he laid himself down naked in a bed in which immediately before a man had died of pediculosis and which still swarmed with vermin. These men, with their mind over the control of their emotions, were sent out into the world. At first, they proved themselves in the hospitals, and that's where these quotations came from in Philip Miller's book, History of the Jesuits. But they also made their way out into the world of the pagans to win them to the new pagan Christianity. One of the first was St. Francis Xavier. The Pope claimed that this man had been given the gift of tongues, and as he went out, he certainly learned scores and scores of languages in India, in Asia, and Japan, and became a master of that whole province in the Jesuit system. The Jesuits were given tremendous power. At first, there was only 60 of them allowed, but in time, they were given full control of the church. Yea, they were given power to excommunicate all who would hinder or do not aid the society, to confer orders, preach, administer sacraments, to change their general, to absolve heretics as well as imprison the excommunicate, to exercise episcopal functions, to confirm, exercise, dispense, etc., to disguise themselves, to carry movable altars, give plenary indulgence, to live exempt, free from secular power, taxes, as well as jurisdiction, authority, sentence, and command of any other ordinary delegate, judge, magistrate, from any search. Folks, it illustrates that the church in society gave the Jesuit absolute control in this world, total free from all law. In the Council of Trent, two of them were set aside, Alcazar and Ribera, to form a counterfeit theology to the prophecy of the Protestants about the Antichrist. At that time, these theologians formed the idea of futurism, that the Antichrist should come sometime in the future. This, in time, developed through John Darby and Edward Irving in Scotland into the rapture concept. And this book on the rapture was written by two Catholic priests. Peter Canisius and Peter Faber were the first missionaries sent in to form an educational system in Germany to counter the Reformation. The Jesuits became the educators and the controllers of the mind of children and the generations that were coming up. They became the great moral theologians and fought the Protestant concept of predestination. They taught free will, but merged with their free will was the idea that an individual through his own works could become perfect and gain merit on his own. Father Matteo Ricci illustrates the tremendous power of the Jesuit to infiltrate other religions and cultures. He became in every way a Chinese and in time infiltrated the court of the emperor in China. These Jesuits could read and learn the language and the religion better than the people, become the teachers of the people, and then insinuate Roman Catholicism, eventually opening up these magnificent courts to the Catholic missionaries. They entered into the primitive and poor areas of the world, and thousands of pagans were gathered into the Catholic Church through these men. But they had a secret way of doing it. In the book Fire Jesuits, we read they allowed their proselyte Christians to commit idolatry by a subtle evasion, that of enjoining them to hide under their cloaks an image of Jesus Christ, to which they teach them by mental reservation to direct those public adorations which they rendered to the idol. The Jesuits infiltrated the other orders. They took over the head and the control of the Inquisition from the Dominicans. They turned it into a tremendous engine, a terrible power that wiped out thousands and millions of people. In Gurry's Doctrines of the Jesuits, we read it was Loyola himself who procured the erection of the Inquisition in Portugal. It was at the hands of the Jesuits that millions of people suffered the most horrible deaths. Terrible suffering that goes beyond our imagination today. These people did not realize that as they were persecuting these people, as they were torturing their flesh and causing every nerve in the body to scream in pain, they were causing the sufferings of Jesus Christ himself in his people. In Fox's Book of Martyrs and other books, it tells about the tremendous campaigns that raged against those who had fled into the mountains to have religious freedom. In time, all of the Albigensian race in southern France were completely genocide, exterminated from the earth. Not one was left. And the Waldenses in northern Italy were exterminated to the place where there was only a few thousand left, and they had made their way over the Alps to Geneva. The record of history has been rewritten, folks, by the Roman Catholic religion. The Jesuits became the controllers of history. And thus, the record of millions of faithful souls is not available to us. The Spirit of Prophecy tells us that that record is written in heaven. The church, every time she wanted to evangelize or infiltrate another area of the world, set up schools or colleges there in Rome. This became the origin of the Pontifical Gregorian University. Its purpose is for the subversion of the world. They sent up houses of the Jesuits and magnificent schools, which gave some indication of the tremendous wealth of this order. Europe was being covered by the Jesuits. In the Ignatian fireworks, we notice on the back page, it shows the Pope heating the fire that burned London in the 17th century. And it shows Jesuits under the control of the Pope starting fires in every country of the world. These Jesuits believed diabolical and witchcraft doctrines. At the heart of that order was occult teaching. From a Jesuit creed by John Battista Poza, he says, "I believe in two gods, one is son, father, and mother, metaphorically according to a temporal generation. The other, metaphorically, mother and father, according to a temporal generation. And what is consequent hereto, that the common term mother, father, may be equally attributed to God and the Blessed Virgin, as if they were both hermaphrodites, sexually male and female." This is raw pagan teaching in the raw sense of the word. In the book, again, the Fiery Jesuits, they affirm that the diligence of an expert conjurer in diabolical arts may well be thought worthy of a reward, and that a fortune teller is not obliged to restitution if he hath consulted the devil, nor to confession, though he hath expressly invoked the devil, and that it is lawful to consult a conjurer. It was the Jesuits who became the masters of astrology in the Dark Ages. They led out in the schools of teaching astrology in the Vatican. Folks, this chart was made by a famous Jesuit Kircher, and it's astrological healing. In the Soul Hustlers by Rennie Norbergen, an illustration that their teachings on astrology and their occult beliefs in the heart of that system has never changed. Rennie Norbergen in this book quotes Gene Dixon as saying, "As a child I was taught Chaldean astrology by a wise and wonderful man, a Jesuit priest." I don't see how anyone can say that astrology is wrong. After all, he was a man of God. Gene Dixon in the world is one of the most popular clairvoyants and astrologers today, and we understand now that she was taught that by the Jesuits. In Gurry's Doctrine of the Jesuits, this also is available in the library here at PUC, we learn the secret of how the Jesuits became the masters of the confessional. They could excuse sin by subtle evasion, and because of it, the wealthy powers of the earth beat a path to the Jesuit confessional. They learned the secrets of state, they sent this to the head of their order, and through it, they were able to manipulate the emperors and the rulers of the world.